be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. What does he say? For you to ever know the will of God, you've got to give your body up to him and say, I'm crucified with Christ. The Holy Spirit is going to use my body now, not the old man.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. On today's edition of Life Talk, we are continuing the message entitled, The Old Man's Ruin, in this exciting series called, Christ in Colossians. To tell us more about today's message, here's Pastor Jeff.
Today we're continuing the series, Christ in Colossians, where we're looking at how we really were crucified with Christ. That is, our old sin nature was crucified with him that we should no longer serve sin. So let's go right to the message, the old man's ruin, and see what the Bible teaches us about spiritual victory. But it perfectly pictures the exceeding sinfulness of our sin. Let's look at some of those words. Fornication, porneia. Phonetic spelling I put up there just so you can see it, porneia. This word provides the root of the English terms pornography, pornographic. We get it from pornea. And it means to sell off. It's a selling off or surrendering of sexual purity. Promiscuity of any and every type. Now, here's what a lot of people don't understand about fornication. It's not just talking about two single people being sexually active. It covers all sexual sin, homosexuality, lesbianism. There are certain sexual sins I don't even want to name that it covers. It's talking about the whole kit and caboodle, all of them, are wrapped up in that word, porneia. Okay? What does he say? He says, instead of letting your old man be manifested in those sins, he's crucified, so in light of that truth, kill it. Man, I tell you, we're going to have to edit out all this clapping and jumping and shouting. We have to do it from time to time. See, the church has been so corrupted by the world that you got people all the time like shacking up. They'll come into church, say, oh, you know, we love the Lord, hallelujah, lift their hands, and we're born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. But then they're shacking up and they've never been married. And you say, have you never been married? And they say, well, I mean, what's a piece of paper? And that right there shows me they have been brainwashed by the world. Right there. Because it's not just a piece of paper. You've made a covenant before God. And I mean, I could go on that. I don't have time with that tonight. But catch the meaning that whenever we fall into some kind of sexual sin, we're selling ourselves off, selling our purity, selling something precious. And you know that I don't condemn you. Listen, we're in such a demonized, filthy, sexually depraved culture that it comes at us from every angle, constantly. And that's why I don't understand how you could possibly walk with God if you were not rooted in a local church, living in the Word every single day, around other believers who are sharpening you, because this is a battle. And here's one of them. Paul says, look, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying that you have within you the ability, because you're a crucified, resurrected person, to kill it. Now, let's go on. Uncleanness, that just means moral impurity. Inordinate affections. What's an inordinate affection? That is strong feelings or emotions which are not guided by God, like consuming lust. See, in our culture, we put a huge premium on feelings. And we say, well, if I'm feeling it, then it's got to be right. Can I give you some news tonight? You can feel something real strong and it be so wrong. Just because you feel it doesn't mean it's right. Wasn't there a song, "How Can It Be Right If It Feels So Wrong"? Was that a song? How can it be wrong if it feels so right? Let me answer the writer of that song. It can be real wrong no matter how right it feels. Watch this now. Evil concupiscence. Well, I get an A for just saying that word. I heard one radio preacher, concupiscence. Get out of that concupiscence. It's concupiscence. What does it mean? Passionate desire, also not guided by God. It means to be focused intently on an object of lust with the thought, if I get the chance, I will. Now, let me show you something Jesus said and clarify this. You know, Jesus used the same Greek word for lust in Matthew 5:28 when he said something that I don't think I've ever known a Christian brother that didn't stumble over this verse and say, how in the world can you live that? But here's what Jesus said, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Well, most men read that and say, well, I'm done. But let me tell you what the word lust there means. It means, if I get the chance, I will. That's very different from noticing an attractive woman and going, didn't God do a good job? See, God doesn't make a man not a man or a woman not a woman. You can't get to the place where you see an attractive member of the opposite sex and go, oh, I'm dead to Christ. Hallelujah. No, you can say, huh, didn't God do a good job? But it doesn't mean you're saying you're honing on them, looking at them, staring at them, lusting after them with the thought, if I get the chance, I will. That's very different. That's what he was talking about. So every man in here say, praise God. And you women can say it too. Don't look so holy at me. Now, covetousness. What's covetousness? Lusting for a greater number of temporal things that go beyond what God determines is eternally best for us. It's always wanting something else. Never have enough. Now, all these emotions and urges war against the child of God from time to time. We have not yet received our perfect, undying, and sinless spiritual bodies. Don't have them yet. The old Adamic nature seizes every opportunity to express itself, taking advantage of those moments when we fail to reckon it dead. I guarantee you, any time on any given day, tomorrow, you're going to have more than one chance to say, I'm dead. I'm crucified with Christ. This is why Peter wrote these words, 1 Peter 2:11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against your soul. Do battle against your soul. Abstain means hold yourself off from, keep yourself away from. Paul goes a step further and says, kill the impulse by applying God's truth. I am dead to sin, but alive to God. The word mortify means give to death, therefore. Give to death, therefore, these things. It comes from the Greek word that means to make dead. Now, the Holy Spirit demands that we actively appropriate the fact that we died with Christ to deprive the old nature of its efforts to use our living bodies as the instruments of its own expression. So Paul says in Romans 12, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. What does he say? For you to ever know the will of God, you've got to give your body up to him and say, I'm crucified with Christ. The Holy Spirit is going to use my body now, not the old man. In other words, when the old man rears his head in an attempt to use your body as his instrument, reckon him dead. Say with Paul, read it with me, I have been crucified with Christ. Now next, Paul warns of coming judgment. for the very things the old man revels in. Chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, he writes these words, "Because of these things," the things we just went over, that list, "the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience," the lost, "in which you yourselves once walked when you did live in them. But that was then. This is now." The kind of behavior Paul just described, illicit sex, lustful living, depraved passion, wicked desires, the worship of money, are what one would expect from the lost. But the redeemed have been delivered from this kind of behavior positionally by the cross. Positionally by the cross. What is positional truth? It is what God tells you and me He did with us through Jesus Christ and by the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. Positional truth is, I'm right now seated in heavenly places in Christ, though I'm here with you now. Positionally, I'm already in heaven. God's just waiting time to catch up with that. But it's done in God's eyes, okay? That's positional truth. But experiential truth is what I'm experiencing right now on earth. I'm here with you. But God sees me in Christ in heaven. Positional, experiential. Positional, practical. Now, what He wants you and I to do is take the positional truth, you are crucified with Christ, and apply it by faith to our practical life. Some of you have never heard this, and that's sad, because we ought to hear this all the time. Positionally, I'm in Christ. Positionally, I'm dead. Positionally, I'm resurrected. Positionally, I'm in heaven. Positionally, I'm more than a conqueror. Then practically, I'm to take my faith and say, it's mine right here on earth. It's mine. The redeemed have been delivered from this kind of behavior positionally by the cross, and we are delivered from it practically when we claim our birthright as believers to live on resurrection ground. Paul goes on to say that the lost are subject to the wrath of God. The word he uses for wrath means hot anger, thumos, hot anger. Even though our generation has grown totally permissive concerning sin, let me assure you, God has not. Sin causes God's anger to burn hot. And our culture would say to us, well, God's a God of love, and God's not going to judge, and they don't understand God when they say that. Because God is a God of love, but He's also a God of holiness. And church, I assure you, a sin never happens in God's universe, but it's got to be dealt with somehow, somewhere. And if it's not dealt with on the cross, then it's dealt with in His judgment. The wise understand that God has various ways of dealing with sin. If you're wise, you get this. He deals with sin in this life often by sovereignly overruling a person's circumstances, and He brings His hand of rebuke and judgment into their life. Look around you. Our country is under judgment. Our country is not under an abundant blessing right now. It's under judgment, primarily. It's got a lot of believers in it, but as a whole, do you see blessing? Insurmountable debt, oppression, persecution against the faith, and it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. Now, God judges sin. From time to time, He acts against whole nations. Now, please believe me when I tell you, bringing about their overthrow. God can overthrow a nation at the blink of an eye. And then He sits in catastrophic judgment sometimes, bringing about a Holocaust, as when He overthrew the antediluvian world, that is, those in the days of Noah, and Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? God acts in catastrophic judgment, and He can do that. Why can He do that? Because He's God, and we're not. I get concerned about America, I gotta tell you. It just seems like we are almost determined to excite the wrath of God. And you do not push God. You just don't. You don't flaunt your sin in His face and dare Him to do something about it. But that seems to be what America has decided to do. But I assure you, God will judge it. as surely as we're sitting in this place tonight, God will and is judging it and will judge it. He'll act in judgment in the terrible events described in the book of Revelation. And he's going to act in judgment in eternity at the judgment of the great white throne. Those who died in their sins shall be judged on that day, and nobody will be exempt from it. So Paul says, you used to live in those things that bring the wrath of God, but no more. Now, more than anything else, Paul wants the Christian to understand what God did for him on the cross, for us on the cross. God has his part, we have our part. Now, let me just summarize this. Say this with me. God's part, you are dead. Our part, accept it by mortifying your members. God's part, truth revealed. What is the truth? Our part, truth realized. Mortify, therefore, your members. One more time. God's part, the eternal fact. You are dead. Our part, the daily act. Mortify, therefore, your members. Then Paul instructs the Christian to put off some things. And he's going to start using language, the same language he would use to get dressed or undressed. So he says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Well, there is another list. He says, don't lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Now, here's what he's saying. The old man's rags or clothing, his stained and tattered clothing, are his habits. The dictionary defines a habit as a behavior pattern acquired by frequent repetition. You didn't become a smoker till you did it more than once. First time you took a hit off that cigarette, it felt like you dropped a brick down into your lungs, but you persevered. And then you became a true smoker. Same thing with drinking. First sip off alcohol you ever took, you thought you drank castor oil, but you persevered until you acquired a taste for it. And on with any sin. Repetition got us hooked, didn't it? Now, it can also mean clothing, that is habit. Habit can mean clothing. For instance, a riding habit is clothing somebody wears when they're horseback riding. They have on their riding habit, their clothes they use for riding. Now, so we can legitimately think this way of the old man's habits, his habitual bad behavior, as his clothes. He wears these evil habits as the characteristic clothing of his fallen nature. Paul says, put off the old man's rags. Take them off and lay them down, never to pick them up again. You got that old tattered jacket of drugging all the time. When you get saved, you take that thing off and you put it down and you never pick it up again. You know what the habits are that grab hold of lost people who walk in the flesh. He said, when you get saved, take off that old rag and put it down. The habit. And don't ever pick it up again. There it is, and there it shall stay. It should. Now, this is positional truth. We must deliberately shed the evil habits we acquire from our Adamic nature. Now, here's a fact. Please get this. Not one of us was born with an evil habit. You know, I drink because my granddaddy drank, my daddy drank, my great-great-granddaddy, so it just kind of came down me through the lineage. Baloney. That's a cop-out, and that ought to be good news to you. You're drinking because you started drinking, and granddaddy wasn't there to give it to you. You did it all on your own. And now, he says, we have put on every evil habit we've got. We put it on. We're the ones that put it on. We picked up that old rag, and we put it on, and we got that habit, and we began to walk in it. Paul goes on to elaborate on some of these old rags. Let's look at a few of them. Anger. This is talking about the habitual anger, the settled, simmering, seething underneath the surface anger that makes some people so hard to live with and to work with. And makes them lash out at everybody that offends them. You know the kind of person I'm talking about. You're afraid to get around them because they may go off on you. It includes within its scope the deliberate planning of revenge. What does he say? Now that you're born again, put it off. Take it off. Well, Pastor, I need to be delivered of a demon. No, you don't. Y'all are looking at me like, wow, I don't have any toes left tonight. Listen, I'm telling you the truth. You don't have a demon. You have a habit. I'm sorry to pop some of your bubbles that wish you had a demon instead. But you can't blame it on a demon. Devil's not making you do it. It's a habit. And by the power of God, under the resurrection power, being a resurrected person, you lay it down. Now, then he says wrath. What's the difference between anger and wrath? Wrath is the combustible kind of anger that explodes and blazes all of a sudden. It's not simmering underneath all the time where you're just kind of fundamentally an angry person walking around with a chip on your shoulder. But this is the boiling up of hot temper that erupts in sudden violent rage when something triggers you. He says, that's not of God. Lay it down. Lay that habit down. It's an old rag. Malice. Malice is the fostering of ill will. It suggests the desire to injure another person. The person who wears this rag from the old man nurses grudges against other people. I mean, you can offend this person and then 10 years later run into them and they're still mad at you. They haven't gotten over it. They're nursing that grudge all the days of their life. God did not save us to carry a grudge. He saved us to carry a cross. Listen to that now. Lay it down. Blasphemy. Well, that's easy. This word means to defame. It carries the idea of slandering somebody else, speaking out to tear down their reputation, to injure their good name. And I got to tell you, Christians engage in this all the time. You get mad at somebody, you get on Facebook. Now I'm really going to meddle. Now you're going to regret you came tonight. But you get on Facebook, and of course you're a Christian, so you're going to put a halo over your head, and you're going to do it in the name of the Lord, but you're going to go on Facebook and tell the whole world about this person, how bad they are, terrible they are, what they've done. And then you say at the end, pray for them. That's not why you did that. You did that to slander their character and tear them down. And you know what? God sees it. Now, filthy communication, that's easy. Foul speaking, obscene speech, telling smutty stories. Don't do that. Don't tell a smutty story. Now, telling of lies, the Christian's not to lie. We got the spirit of truth in us. To lie is to be like Satan, for he's a liar and the father of lies. Now, why should we put off these rags from our former life? Because you have put off the old man with his evil ways. You are dead. Your life is hidden with Christ in God, and you are a resurrected person. That's why you should put these things off like you would lay down an old, tattered, stinky coat. Now we're getting towards the end here. Next, Paul will stick with the getting addressed analogy. We're going to look at this next. In the same way, we're to put off the rags from our former life. We're to put on the new man, the new clothes of our resurrected life. Read verse 10 with me. And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Can you stand with me tonight? Now say something with me. Put off. Put on. Now, most people look at their Christian life this way. Well, when something just washes all over me and I just have some powerful spiritual experience that revolutionized my life, those things will just kind of fall off. But no, look, he says, by faith, put them off. Take them off. Lay them down.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. We are so glad to have you here with us today. Before you touch that dial, we would like to take this opportunity to thank you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Every time God uses the ministry of Life Talk to transform a life by the power of Jesus Christ, it's because somebody like you gave financially and helped make it possible. Life Talk's daily program is listener supported. So if you're interested in supporting this ministry, call us toll free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. And there you can make a donation to empower Life Talk to continue transforming lives with the power of the gospel. Once again, visit us online at lifetalkradio.us or call us toll-free at 877-884-3111 and give your best gift today. Coming up on Life Talk.
Christians are to live in the peace of God. We're not to be troubled. We're not to be worried. We're not to be filled with fear. We're not to be walking around chewing our nails to the quick. God gave us peace, supernatural peace. The Bible says it's beyond the ability to intellectually understand it.
That's next in a brand new message we're calling The New Man's Clothes, in this series entitled Christ in Colossians. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.